spirit, but quite often the spirit is the spirit of error, the spirit of, you know, evil, the spirit of demonic. So, you know, the reason I want to share all this video with you is to let you know that speaking in tongue is not foreign to many Christians now. In early years, when you talk about speaking in tongue, many churches, they don't believe in it. So that's why, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, TJC is a cult, right? TJC is a cult. Not only that we were one of the first that spoke in tongue, but we also proclaim that, you know, we worship the one true God and not Trinity. So that's why they feel that our church is very strange. But now if you go to YouTube, whatever, you know, just search speaking in tongues, there's so many, you know, website, there's so many videos and stuff on speaking in tongues. So that's why when we invite truth seekers or friends to a church, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid about because, you know, we have the promised Holy Spirit, and it's not like they don't know already. A lot of them already heard and know, you know, about speaking in tongues. But what we have is the true one, right? The true promised Holy Spirit. So make sure you have that kind of faith. And now I'm going to show you a video that is not so abnormal, right? It's not like a person rolling on the ground and yelling and screaming. But rather, these are the group of people, they also speak in tongue. But you listen carefully to see if their tongues are the same as our tongue. Okay? So that even though this is on ABC News about, you know, how speaking in tongue is medical study proof that the Holy Spirit, that people experience Holy Spirit. But listen to their tongue. This is the whole purpose of this video. Listen to your tongue and try to, you know, hear with your ears, right? Try to feel also in your spirit to see if this is the same spirit or not. Any thought? Any questions? Yes?
Is it wrong for us to record?
Oh, why is it wrong? Yeah, of course it's not wrong, right? Because the whole world one day will see that you and I are praying, right? That's how they're going to know that we received the promised Holy Spirit, right? Yeah, because the speaking tongue is not for what? It's not for the believers, right? For the unbelievers. So what does this mean? So that's why, you know, when Peter and the apostle, when they praying in the upper room, and then, of course, God exposed them to everybody who was in that area during that time so they can know and hear what they were praying. So it's nothing wrong to, record ourselves praying and put on YouTube. There's nothing wrong with that. But hold on, before any more questions, there's already 5 questions here already. So let's focus on this a little bit. Let's try to discern. So what do you think is going on? Right? How many people believe in speaking in tongue, according to this report? 600 million. Okay. So don't think like, oh, you know, TJC the only one. No, really. Almost every truth seekers or friends that came to Dallas Church, they already have heard about Holy Spirit before. Everyone that I spoke to. Of course, the spirit they heard is something else, right? But they have heard before. 600 million people. So don't be surprised. So for you and I, it's nothing for us to hide, but rather to go out and expose the power and the spirit of God. This kind of mentality you and I need to have. And then what thing is going on with this group of people? They're not falling down, right? It seems they're very focused, right, when they're praying. What do you think is going on? Just take a guess. What do you guys think? When you watch them praying, how do you feel? It's different, yes. It's definitely different, right? And different in what way? I think. Do you feel a little bit disturbing? Okay. I'm sure it's not as disturbing as the one that's on the ground, right? But it's a little different in this, yes? Yeah, did you raise your hands? Yeah. Yes. 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 Yep. Yeah, actually a lot of time when they speak in tongue, it's more like gibberish, right? They just make things up. And if you go on YouTube, they say speaking in tongue lesson, lesson 1, lesson 2, lesson 3, you can learn how to speak in tongue. So for me, actually, I think this group of people, they are really sincere. And they don't have demonic spirit for me when I watch all the YouTube and listen to them, but rather God moved them, but then they try themselves to speak in tongue. You understand? So that's why they speak in such a way. Of course, some of our members also the same thing, right? Some of our members feel that when they speak in tongue, they speak in languages. But it's not like that, right? I mean, if you see, the way they speak, actually, they just say whatever, just put words together, karabanka, boka, whatever, like that, right? That is them speaking in tongue, right? There's no way speaking tongue. But for me, I really feel this is the group of people that God will move their heart to truly come to know the truth. Because that's what God is doing right now. Right? Within 15 years, the research have shown that there only be three languages in this whole world be spoken. What do you think it is? English, Spanish, and Chinese. And look at our church, right? God is really preparing our church. No, for real. For real, really. No one would know or knew that this is the three languages will dominate the whole world. But it is. So that's why God preparing you and I, right, to do what we need to do. And of course, our God also prepare other denominations too, like closely come to know the truth. When I was living in San Jose, I hired someone to do my floor, right, my wood floor in the house. And then they asked me, what do I do? I say, I'm a pastor. So quite often when I tell them I'm a pastor, they always end up preaching to me, right? Because I look young, this and that, right? I look like I don't know what I'm doing, right? So they always try to preach to me. So he said to me, how do you know you receive the Holy Spirit? I say, speaking in tongue. He's like, what? I say, speaking in tongue. He's like, how do you know that? Like our church been doing since 1917, right? And he said, only 6 months ago, this was revealed to them, that receiving the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongue. So that's why so many churches, right now, they try to speak in tongue. But they try themselves, not because the Holy Spirit give them, the movement to speak in tongue. And then he asked me another question. He said, how, when you baptize a person, in what name do you baptize, right? I say, in the name of Jesus. He almost fell down. Because he said, this has been revealed to their pastor like 6 months ago, the same time with the Holy Spirit. That the name, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is Jesus. And I say, yeah, we've been doing that since 1917. And, really, for us, God is moving for sure other denominations to come closer to the truth. When they come to know the truth, then all of them will join us. Will join us to be that one body and that one bride of Christ. Okay? So when you look at this group of people, actually they really sincere, they want to see God. And quite often it's not any kind of demonic work inside of them. But God moved them, but then they try to speak, learn to speak tongues on their own. Okay? That's what's going on. Of course, it's much better than the spirit of error. But nevertheless, it's up to you and I to go out there and, preach to them and share with them the promised Holy Spirit. So it is very important. Yes, sister, you have a question? Tested what? Okay. Yeah, I hope when they get tested, every one of us have the mind of Christ, right? Go in there and all you see is like, no. But those things doesn't really matter, right? I mean, for them, they test it. Why? Because they want to see how the chemical in your brain, right, how it shifts, if you really experience it. Of course, these people, they experience something. These great phenomena is going on. Why? Because when they pray, they also feel a kind of peace, right? And that kind of joy, just like for us too. And I'm sure if we test TJC members, our brain would be very different. Really? Our brain would be very different than those outside. Because quite often you can see, when you and I pray, this great tranquility come upon us, right? That great hope, that great joy. And for sure, the chemicals, in our brain would be very different, right? But who cares, right? But who cares? So, for us and, okay. Any other question pertaining to this video? Yes, sister? I'm sorry, Yes. Okay. Can you keep that question in mind? Can you keep that question in mind? Yeah. And of course, we have five other questions too. Right? If there's no question pertaining to this video, and then we'll have to move on a little bit because we have only today and tomorrow. And we have to cover, like, yeah, many things, right? Many things. But thank God, no, it's always great to ask questions. It's very important, right? To ask questions actually is to learn to improve our wisdom and our understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to book of John, chapter 7. Book of John, chapter 7. John, chapter 7. Verse 37 to 39. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believe in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So we know here that, you know, the promised Holy Spirit has not been given yet, because our Lord Jesus Christ have not crucified, have not been buried, and also have not ascended to heaven. So that's why our Lord Jesus Christ has not been glorified yet. So that's why the Holy Spirit did not come down yet. So, and then, when we receive the Holy Spirit, the Bible said here, right, that out of our heart will flow rivers of living water. So, and then one of the questions, you know, say that, why some of our brothers and sisters who receive Holy Spirit, they don't feel anything? Why do you think that is, right? Let me see. Okay, I think I cannot raise it. Let me see. Yes, okay. Hi, Preacher Vudi. Hello. How come some people don't really feel anything special when they receive the Holy Spirit? For example, I'm not even sure exactly when I receive it. It is a very sad thing, right? So why do some people, right, here, Lord Jesus Christ said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's like, you know, flow of rivers, right, of living water come out of your heart. So why people, some people receive the Holy Spirit, they can really hardly can feel it. Why? Why? Why do I think it is? What's some of the reasons? Why? Yes. Mm-hmm. No, that is very true. Here, if anyone thirsts, right, thirsts. You know, quite often when we, you know, when we pray for the Holy Spirit for a while, and then we just pray, "Oh God, give me the Holy Spirit." Yeah. If not, okay, Lord, thank you. Thy will be done, right? No. The Holy Spirit is a gift. This means God, you know, please give me this Holy Spirit. So you have that kind of heart, that kind of yearning for it. And you also must have a lot of faith. Right? Because to ask for God's gift, you must have a lot of faith. If you don't have faith, then the Holy Spirit comes to you, you feel like what? Because you lack of faith, you don't really feel it. Even some brother, sister, they receive the Holy Spirit and the minister tell them, "You have the Holy Spirit," like, really? Because why? Because quite often, you know, it takes great faith for you to pray for the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, and when you hear that yourself speak in tongue, you must ask God, "God, fill me with thy Holy Spirit." And another thing too, that quite often sisters, because rain, there's all different kind of rain, right? Because the Holy Spirit just like rain. Most sisters receive the Holy Spirit just a nice shower, gentle, right? Really gentle shower, right? Because that's sister's characteristic, right? But some brother receive the Holy Spirit like that, right? Because some brother have anger issues, right? Have a lot of problems. So the Holy Spirit come mighty like, why? To us, to help us subdue our weaknesses. But it doesn't mean we do not have the Holy Spirit if you just receive it very gently. But you must have faith that is the Holy Spirit. Because it takes greater faith to say that you have the Holy Spirit, but it's only a little shower comes upon you, than a big heavy rain, right? But either way, it's still Holy Spirit. But you and I must have faith. If you continue to pray with faith that you have the Holy Spirit, then you can really feel it. For me, why most of us, not even receiving the Holy Spirit, when we already receive the Holy Spirit, and there's no river that flows out of our heart, because there's a lot of things, right? There's a lot of things about our life that we live daily that is not pleasing to God. And that is why. Did I share with you about when I go to Africa, when I pray over the food and things like that? Did I share with you guys earlier? Right? Did I share that in this class? No. Okay. Let me share with you, okay, about being filled with God's Spirit and the kind of river of living water. So when I go to Africa, sometimes, you know, 2-3 days, there's no food to eat. Because we would go to the deep jungle, and then we cannot come back to the city and buy food, so we would be very hungry. Maybe one day we eat like a potato or something like that. Right? So during that time, when I came back to the city, and I'm really, really hungry, and when I look at the food that God had blessed me with in front of me, when I just pray, thank you, Lord, thank you so much for this food. When I pray in such a way, I feel this power came through me, my whole body, just like living water, just like electricity shoot right through me. Why? I was thinking, why did I feel that way? Because when I prayed and gave him thanks, I really meant it. Because I was so hungry. The last trip I went there, I lost 25 pounds. Right? I'm usually weigh about 190. I weigh 155 pounds in that time. Right? So I lost a lot of weight. So when I received that food, I really prayed to God. And for me, I did not focus on anything else besides, thank you so much, Lord. And then I feel this great power going through me. And then one time we had some meat to eat. And then, you know, me and the other workers saying, wow, we are so surprised that this brother is so poor. He has given us meat to eat. And we ask him, where did he get the meat? He's like, yeah, my friend, he has a cow and he just died, you know, a couple of days ago, right? We're like, what do you mean he just died? He's like, he just fell down dead. And for us, we look at each other like, oh, man, we cannot throw the food away, right? Then when we pray, I say, God, please sanctify this food. And I really meant it. If not, I might die from this eating this food, right? And you're walking through the jungle, the same thing too, right? Even though Pastor Huang shared with you there's a small snake, but there's plenty of big snakes out there too, right? So when you walk in a jungle, you must have that kind of faith. But when you walk the kind of jungle, really, your faith is complete in you. Why? Because it's life and death. Because you walk in that jungle, if you have no faith, that's why in the future, if any one of you, right, get an opportunity to go to Africa, make sure you live a holy and righteous life at least a couple of months before you go. If not, the cobra might jump at you like 100 feet away, right? If you're a sinner. Really, this kind of life that you and I need to live. So that's why when Jesus Christ talking about this river of living water, you and I should experience this every time we kneel down and pray. And the Holy Spirit is also just like fire. I remember one brother, he fasted for 4 days in NYTS. So when he went to sleep, he did not feel his fleshly body at all. All he felt was his whole body is full of fire. For 3-4 days, he felt like that. So when he slept, he just felt that his fleshly body is completely gone. But what did he feel within himself? Just consuming fire. And that is truly the Holy Spirit. But you and I will feel this kind of power on the end days. On the end days. So that's why when we said you must live a life of holiness and righteousness, you must live this kind of life if you want to feel the fullness of God's power. Why? Because quite often we have so much sin and the water cannot flow through. Why? Because there's too many things that clog up the drain that the water should come through. So the same thing, our hearts is all full of, you know, things that clog it up and not allow the Holy Spirit to dwell completely inside of it. So please keep this in mind. Because if you, every time you kneel down and pray, you feel this living water from your stomach goes all the way to your heart, and, you know, pretty much you feel through your whole body circulating, you feel how holy it is to be filled with God's Word, how powerful it is. You feel like you can do anything. You feel like your faith is so complete. But that is the goal that you and I need to reach. Okay, but now let's talk about how can you and I receive the Holy Spirit? Because quite often people say what? That when you believe, you will receive the Holy Spirit. But of course, that is not true. Let's go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. Chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 4. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we can see here, the disciples have been following Jesus Christ for how many years? How many years? 3 years. Did they receive the Holy Spirit yet? No. Did they believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. But they did not receive the Holy Spirit yet. But then, of course, for those of us who know the Bible well, we can say because our Jesus Christ has not been glorified. Right? Because our Jesus Christ has not been glorified, this means the Holy Spirit has not come down yet. But of course, we know that, you know, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts chapter 8. This is the time that they already received the Holy Spirit in chapter 2. But look at verse 16. The book of Acts chapter 8 verse 16. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. It cannot be more clear than this. This is the group of people in Samaria. They already been baptized in the correct manner, in the name of Jesus Christ, but they did not receive Holy Spirit yet. Only when Peter and John went there, he laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And let's go one more verse in chapter 19 in the book of Acts. You know, some Christians, they don't believe that the book of Acts is part of the Bible, right? You know, because some Christian I spoke to, me talking about the Holy Spirit, and I use the book of Acts a lot for the Holy Spirit. They say, no. The book of Acts is only a historical book, so we don't consider that one of the scriptures. Like, if that's the case, we cannot talk about anything. Right? We cannot talk about anything. Look at chapter 19, verse 4. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this disciple who believed in Jesus for many years already, right? In the book of Acts chapter 19. They already believed in Jesus Christ for many years already. Or we don't know, maybe for many months. But they did not receive the Holy Spirit yet. They didn't even get baptized in the name of Jesus yet. So Paul baptized him in the name of Jesus, and then look at verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Okay. So when we talk about, you know, receiving the Holy Spirit, you don't receive the Holy Spirit when you first believe. You must pray for the Holy Spirit. And most of the time, a person must be baptized according to the Bible, so they become righteous and holy in the eyes of God for them to receive Holy Spirit. So do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Especially, actually, I couldn't find one group that speak in tongue. It's very similar to our tongue. Just like some brothers and sisters who already lost the Holy Spirit, when they speak in tongue, if you don't listen carefully, it also sounds like every other tongue. But it's not. But it's not. Because sometimes it's habitual tongue. Because you've been praying like this for so long, then you prayed, and of course even your tongue is rolling, but it rolls in a different way because that's not the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's not the tongue from the Holy Spirit. Of course, you must listen to a lot of prayer to be able to distinguish and discern this. Right? Of course, ministers, we listen to many prayers all the time. Right? So that's why you'll be able to discern, you know, which even though, you know, some tongue, I mean, you really, it's like so close to the real thing. But it's not. But it's not. And quite often young people, right, and our young brother, sister in church, a lot of times they fake, right? Because they try to practice the way we pray and stuff like that. But if you listen to the tongue, actually, when even though you try to roll the tongue, this and that, right? But it's not the same. It's not the same. Just like one brother, I think he's very good at languages, and he was baptized not so long ago, and then he tried also to speak in tongue when he was, you know, after his baptism. And I always tell him, don't pretend to speak in tongue. Just pray to God to give you the Holy Spirit. But if you listen to him when he speaks in tongue, it's obvious that's not the Holy Spirit, right? And you keep telling, but he keeps trying to say, like that, right? It's not the Holy Spirit, right? Because that's very obvious, right? Of course, for young people, the same thing too. But it's very clear, actually, when someone receives the promised Holy Spirit, their tongue, when they speak, it goes up and down like this. When it goes up and down and it rolls at the same time. So the sound of it is very unique. So that's why if you have a chance to go to Hawaii, go to Africa, Dominican, you know, things like that, right? When you listen to a brother and sister pray, there's always one thing in common. The sound, the foundation of the sound is exactly alike. But of course, if you speak different languages, and then the accent from a prayer is a little bit different, right? You guys notice that, right? Korean members, when they pray, their tongues sound a little bit different than Chinese members. You guys notice that? Yes, their accent, not the foundation. The foundation of the tongue, when it's moving, it sounds exactly alike. I'm talking about 100% alike. But after that, then there's a little bit of accent, right? Just like I have a Bostonian accent, right? Even though I speak English, right? Some of you have Canadian accent when you speak, right? A British accent, but you still speak English. Right? You still speak English, right? Even though if you're from England, you think Americans don't speak English, really, right? But it's still English. Do you guys understand? Right? It's still speaking in tongue, okay? So now let's go to Acts chapter 1. Back to Acts chapter 1. Is there any question pertaining to those who believe do not receive the Holy Spirit? Any question to that? Pertaining to that? Are you guys clear with that? Clear as crystal? Yes? Okay, good. Okay. Here, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. So here, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, the disciples, if they want to receive the Holy Spirit, they cannot what? They cannot do what? Depart from Jerusalem. So where would you receive the Holy Spirit? In Jerusalem. So what is the Jerusalem nowadays? Yes, the true church of God. So anyone who wants to receive the promised Holy Spirit, they cannot depart from Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem represents the church of the living God. Where does it say that? Where does it say, you know, the heavenly Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is the church of the living God? Where does it say that? Okay, Revelation chapter 21. Okay. What verse? Or verses? What's that? Verse 2. Okay. 21 verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, right? For sure, this is the true church of God. Because quite often we think this heavenly Jerusalem, this holy city, is a new heaven, new earth. No. The new heaven and new earth is what? When is the new heaven, new earth came? When? When did the new earth, heaven, new earth came? Okay, you just read this. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, right? It's the church. When did it came down? When did it came down? What's that?
After
the new heaven, new earth. Okay, you guys, maybe I'm not good putting things together, but okay. If the holy city, New Jerusalem, came down, right, and we know this, the church, when did it come down? Huh? 1917, you gotta go way back before that. Yes! The day of Pentecost. Right, that's when the Holy Spirit came down. Then what? He created new heaven and new earth. This means earth is our heart, right? and new hope. Why? Because earth is always representing our heart, because our heart before just like stone. But now, because of the Holy Spirit, right, become very fertile, become very soft, new heaven, new earth. So this talking about the true church of God. And then look at verse 10 and verse 11, because if verse 2 represents the eternal life, it cannot be. Why? Because it, God prepared as a bride adorned with her husband. Bride is what? What is the bride? Church. The bride is the church, right? The groom is Jesus. But bride is the church. Then look at verse 10 and 11. And he carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This is talking about the day of Pentecost, right, during that time. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It's talking about the true church of God. And the pillars, you know, this great gate, right? Great gate or pillars, what's it made of? What's it made of? The gate. Each gate represent what? Huh? Each gate represent what? You just read it there. The gate represent what? Yeah, the 12 tribes. And each gate is what? It has what? Huh? The gate, each gate is one what? Huh? What's that? Yes. Verse 21, right? The 12 gates were 12 pearls. And what pearls represent? What does the pearl represent? Huh? Okay, it is a treasure. But what does pearl represent? According to the Bible. Huh? Okay. Don't throw the pearls into the swine, right? And then when you find this great pearl, you sell everything that you have, then you buy it, right? This great pearl represents what? God's word, the truth. So if you want to enter that gate, you must enter through what? The word of God. There's no other way to enter to this place, this kingdom of heaven, without going through the word of God. Can you imagine pearl, one gate equal one pearl? How big is that pearl? Huge. Why huge? Right. Okay, let's go back to let's go to Hebrews too. Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, 23. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to a numerous company of angels. Verse 23. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Heavenly Jerusalem, or the kingdom of heaven, always represent the true church of God. Of course, when we talk about the true church of God, you don't even need to say true Jesus church. You understand? The church that is in the Bible. But when you talk about the one true church in the Bible, you can't help but to say that is true Jesus church. So, you know, when we think, of course, Noah, for example, what saved Noah and his family? Huh? The ark. Is that right? Huh? God, okay. What saved Noah? What did the Bible say? Huh? Say it loud. What saved Noah and his family? You guys don't know he's not going to eat lunch today. Water, yes. How amazing that is. So in other words, the ark is like the church. But if without water, they cannot be saved. You understand? Why? Because the water destroyed all the enemies. All the evil people. Just like baptism destroyed all our sin. That's how we are saved. And what saved the Israelites when they walked through the Red Sea? Water, right? Water. How did the water save them? What's that? Yes. Actually, it's not Pharaoh, but the Egyptian soldiers. Yes, the army of Pharaoh, right? When the Egypt soldiers represent what? The world, right? Represent sin. So they were following them. And when after the Israelites crossed on dry land, then the water came back and destroyed all the enemies, all the evil, all the iniquity. They are saved by water. And you think nowadays, how do you know you are saved? Huh? Through water, yes, through baptism also. How wonderful this is, right? It's so wonderful. Because that's why quite of course, True Jesus Church is, the name is wonderful. I love this name, right? But quite often when you talk to True Seeker, you don't need to mention it, right? If you name your daughter Bella, right? What does that mean? Pretty or beautiful, right? Bella, right? And then you don't need to tell people, oh, my daughter is beautiful. But if your daughter is beautiful, you don't need to name her Bella. Everybody look at her, wow, she's so beautiful. But if you name her Bella and she's ugly looking, and I'm sorry, even your name Bella is not going to do anything. You can name him, Bella Bella, right? Beautiful, beautiful, but she's ugly, I'm sorry. That name is not going to make her beautiful, you understand? So True Jesus Church, the name itself, not going to make us true. You said it's not going to make us true. But the doctrine that you and I have inside the church, what we practice, that's what saved us. But of course, the name is also quite wonderful. But quite often we talk to people, you don't need to mention the name. If, your daughter is beautiful, everybody knows she's beautiful. That's why nowadays the problem is with our church, that a lot of people, even though the name is True Jesus Church, they look at us, they just feel we are not true. And that's why they cannot believe that we are a true church of God. But that's why you and I must change ourselves, transform ourselves according to the name. If the name is True Jesus Church, you and I must be the true worshiper of God. And that's very important, okay? And I'm sorry our time is up. And we have only about 50 minutes left tomorrow. And yeah, I will try my best to answer this question. And sister, also your question also, okay? Let's bow and pray in silence. Amen. God bless you.